was at home. So, and God, so I wasn't going to do it. And God's like, is that really all it takes? And yeah, it kind of is. So I borrowed Brian's glasses and thought I wrote it down really big, but we'll see if I make it through the verses. Years ago, a good friend prophesied over me and said, there are parts of you that struggle with God and you don't know why. And God knows you don't know why. And he'll help you with that. And he has in many, many areas. But I struggle with retirement. It terrifies me to think of retiring. And Brian's retired, and I'm fine with that because I'm still working. And that's okay. But me, the thought of me doing that has been a real burden for several years. And I didn't know why. And I'm, you know, I found financial freedom in a lot of other unhealthy areas, relationships that I had with money. But that one, I didn't understand why it plagued me. And it was really a problem for me. And I've prayed and I've read verses and I've gone to people and had them pray over me. And I did steps A, B, and C and still could not figure out how to let this go. So a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to a sermon on the radio. And they read from Psalms 84, and it says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. That has nothing to do with retirement. But as he read that for me, God said, I will tell you when to retire and you'll be okay. And that was it. I'm done. It was just this weight lifted off of me. And the whole next week, how fun, God tried to show me all of the ways that that could easily be taken. And I just kept coming back to that he's going to take care of it. He will tell me when, and when he does, it'll be okay. And I don't usually have the aha moments like that. So that was kind of fun. But the encouragement I wanted to give, and I felt kind of defeated last week because so much of the words that were given were right along that. And I was like, oh, man, you know, like, does it even matter? But I just wanted to let people know more than anything is that I've struggled with this for years and years. And don't give up. Because last week, a lot of let it go and be free. But if you didn't, if that's not that easy for some area, don't give up. Keep in the word. I've got one drum to beat, and it's be in the word, be in the word. He will speak to you not about what's in the word, but what's on your heart more often than not. So stay with it and just continue to turn to him in any way. So thank you for that.
Beautiful. Amen, Tara. Thank you. Amen. What a beautiful picture of allowing the Lord to speak to us in different ways, through different mediums, through his timing. You know, who knew that turning on the radio and listening to a sermon, all of a sudden, you know, the Lord would, I was going to say hook us, but show us, like, hey, this is the moment, this is the time, and this is the place. Because we often want to define the time, we want to define the place, and we want to define the moment, right? Which usually means we want to control it. And so, Lord, we thank you for the release today of control. Father, we do thank you for those that are still processing and you're getting us into the place where we can let it go, Lord, where we can find greater faith and greater hope and a greater understanding, a sense of peace when it comes to trusting you and building our lives on you in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. If you have a Bible this morning, open up to the book of Hebrews. It's after James or Titus, and then James comes next. And so 1 Peter, you've gone too far. But Hebrews chapter 11, the verses will be on the screen this morning. Some of what I share this morning will set up where we're going this week in our theme of praying 24/7, doing some devotionals on hope, so you can take some notes. Tiffany alluded to this, but before we leave here today, I am going to have you pray for one another and get you connected again, just like we were in communion. And so you may find yourselves reconnecting with some of those people. But allow your spirit to be open right now to apprehend this area that the Lord would want to set you free in or begin to show you how to get breakthrough as we get into today's message regarding hope. So last week I shared with you this verse. And this verse, Hebrews 11:1, defines faith in the sense that it gives us a picture. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith and hope have a definite relationship, meaning they need one another. So if you're trying to have faith without stewarding hope, guess what you're going to get? A whole lot of disappointment. And if you're trying to steward hope, but not letting it break forth and become an act of faith, then you're also going to start to experience disappointment. But actually what you will experience more profoundly is sorrow. So if you're here today and you recognize that you've been in a season or a pattern or a place of sorrow, my encouragement to you is to recognize that you have hope in you that isn't being activated through faith. And where we need to happen, what we need to have happen is that all of a sudden our hope is given a little bit of ground, a little bit of real estate to step out in faith. Because what will then begin to change is that the cycle of sorrow, the cycle of unmet expectations, hope deferred will no longer make your heart sick, but it will begin to show you that God is who he says he is. So we need to understand the significance of the relationship between hope and faith, and faith and hope. Now here's a quick definition for hope. It is not wishful thinking. It has nothing to do with being hopeful in the sense of, I really wish this will happen. Hope is simply defined as, it is the confident expectation in God's promises. So if you want to steward hope to the place where faith is activated, we have to come back to, do we know the promises of God? Which goes back to what Tara's talking about, and that is being in the Word, being open to hearing what he says. And when he says that he is the God who heals, hope should rise up in us, and then faith get activated when we see someone who is sick. And I've said this to you many times, the reason why most of us do not engage those that are either sick or sorrowful or disappointed or in despair or in depression is because we are walling off or not nurturing the nature of hope to believe the promises of God to be fulfilled through our faithfulness. Maybe someone else's, and that's really easy. Man, go to the healing rooms. I stopped by yesterday and it was like a train of people coming in. Show up on Saturdays from 10:30 to 12:30 and let them get some, you know, hands laid on you and prayed and built up so that all of a sudden the well of hope, the cap is removed and now the breaking forth to where now the confidence can begin to become substance. Because faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. It's the substance. It's the currency, as we defined it last week when we talk about faith. And so when we look at this nature of hope, what I am confidently expecting because of God's promises to experience this morning is that the hope that God has already poured into us through Christ Jesus. We looked at this a few weeks ago in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Christ is in us, he is with us, but he's also on us. Meaning you and I can't miss it. You can't miss it. It might not come in the timing that we want to. It might not happen in the place that we want to. It might not look the way we want to. But God will steward himself in such a manner that he will put you in the place where you need to be. And along the way, what is really good is for you to stay in a posture of hope. always expecting it to then allow you the strength to make a step of faith, for it to become substance. So Romans, if you back up a few verses, a few chapters, excuse me, to the book of Romans, chapter 8. We're going to expand our definition of hope this morning and look at it from the Apostle Paul, 8 verses 24 and 25. Starting in verse 24, it says, "For we were saved in this hope," the hope of Jesus, the hope of Jesus being the first fruits of the Spirit poured out, if you're going to stay in the context here. "For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." What is Paul saying here? What he's saying is that, listen, your hope exists in a realm that isn't about what is being seen or experienced or is tangible. Because faith is the substance. So if you're putting hope in things that already exist, that's really not hope, that's faith. The fact that that chair is designed to hold me, I'm not hoping that it's going to hold me. I have faith that it will hold me because it's designed to hold me. So to put my hope in that chair, hoping that it holds me, is not the type of hope that God is asking us to steward. What he's asking us to steward or consider is that chair sits empty right now. I know it can hold a living being. I am hopeful that one day it will be filled, that somebody will sit in that chair and they will hear the gospel and they will give their lives to the Lord. They will break through in praise. They will overcome. They will recognize who they are in the Lord. Not just that it holds them. Because what good does it to have hope in something that you can already see? See, faith is substance. It's things we can see. How many of you in the last year, 2023, and I do want hands raised, how many of you this last year had an encounter with the Lord where you experienced physical healing? And I'm not talking about the Tylenol or the cold medicine or, you know, that you know that it was the Lord that healed you. Raise your hand nice and tall. See, that's amazing. That is incredible. Come on, can we just say thank you, Jesus? You are still healer. You are still healer. And so the rest of you that are carrying or carried an infirmity, a sickness, a heart issue, a thought challenge, that haven't seen your breakthrough or your healing yet, what you get to do is look upon them and realize, Lord, I see the substance. Some of you should seek them out and hear their faith testimony, and the substance that they have stepped out into should stir your faith up to where you begin to say, through hope, Lord, I haven't seen my healing yet, but I know it's out there. Because if you did it in them, you'll do it in me. And allow that hope to build up to where it breaks through in such a manner that now you're not just sitting at home going, I really hope God heals me. You're active in your faith. You're reading the word. You're surrounding yourselves in testimony. You're allowing others to lay hands on you, to anoint you. You're showing up early. You're prevailing and you're persevering. Because this definition we just saw here is that we were saved through this hope. We put hope in Jesus and we activated it and we stepped out in faith. And now we're faithfully serving him. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still put their hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it. That word eagerly wait for it is not sitting on the couch with your feet up and a remote in hand. That eagerly waiting is super active. And it's active in a sense that you're not dwelling on what you don't have. You're fixated on what has been promised. And so if you'll remember a few weeks ago, we went after the spirit of mammon, the spirit of pride, exchanging mammon for faith and righteousness. And we established that last week, exchanging pride for humility. And the third one I gave you, and we're going to spend the rest of the month contending to break this off of our lives, off of our property, off of our families, off of the community, wherever the Lord sends you, that spirit of poverty that lies to us and says we lack, that we need to strive to earn it, that somehow we can produce it through our works, that spirit of poverty that hinders prosperity, that hinders the breakthrough, that hinders the hope breaking forth and faith abounding to be the substance that delivers the testimony to the rest of the world. That spirit of poverty is broken through generosity. But where does generosity spring from? Generosity springs from this eager expectation to see the promises of God persevere, to break through. So the answer to a spirit of poverty is generosity, but it's through the doorway of hope. It's through the stewardship of hope, because once hope gets moving, it becomes faith, which then becomes substance, and then it becomes seed that when you plant it, and we declare this around here, is that, Lord, we're going to reap more than what we sow. That we will reap after we sow, that, Lord, we will reap what we sow, and we will reap where we sow. So if we're carrying hope, but we're not sowing seeds of faith, meaning active faith, which we talked about last week, if we're not stopping and recognizing, yes, Lord, it is time for breakthrough. And we're experiencing at a whole lot of different levels. And it can become a phrase that we just settle into and go, yeah, breakthrough's great. But what you're actually confessing in your tone, in your attitude, in your mindset, is the absence of hope, displaced by sorrow. And sorrow, again, is the cycle of unmet expectations. And we break it through a spirit of generosity by walking through a doorway of hope and beginning to see that when we sow those seeds of faith, they begin to spring up and become a great harvest. So let me give you five things. You still with me? I'm going to give you five things to think on and to consider. And before we're done, I want one of them to be your anthem of, Lord, this is where I know hope is going to break through this week. And the first is found in Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. And we've looked at this verse a lot around here. This is my anthem. This is a verse that I've clinged to for most of my life. And it reads like this. And part of your study this week, I want to encourage you to get into your word and underline words, highlight words, and allow this to resonate spirit, soul, and body. But again, in Romans, it says, therefore, having been justified by what? Faith, meaning you put your hope in Jesus. We just saw this. You put your hope in Jesus, you stepped out in that hope, and it became faith. So now we've been justified by faith. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. Through whom also we have access by faith. Again, how did we get that access? Hope springed up that I'm going to believe in the promises of God. I'm going to step out, and now faith is active. By grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory. Now, everybody, hang in there with me, right? Because some of you want to overlook this part of the verse. We also glory. The word glory here is the eager expectation for God's promises to break forth. The definition of hope. So we hope not in the past or in the wishful intentions of man and humanity, but in the goodness and faithfulness of God and his glory, we put our hope, we put ourselves in a place where we also glory in tribulations. Amen? Let's just stop right there. Thank you, Lord, for all the tribulations. Come on, it's really hard to say that without hope, right? It's really hard to say that without a hope that has led to a faith, a substance. It's really hard to say that if you're not surrounding yourself with the evidence of God's promises, which means that others who have hoped and moved into faith have a substance for us. Listen, I don't know if you've ever had neighbors. I used to have really good neighbors. And now we're just in a season where we're working through our relationship with our neighbors. We're praying for their salvation. And God has shown us a lot. And we've prayed and we've wondered why, Lord. Why? But we keep this eager expectation in the midst of our tribulation. And in the midst of that tribulation, can I encourage you? Because the word tribulation here carries this idea of testing. Testing the degree of our hope. Testing the movement of hope into faith. Testing, travailing. The word tribulation in the Bible is actually a board that was drawn across the wheat to break off the chaff the chaff. And it was used, and sometimes you'd stand on it to put some weight on it or put other boards on it, and it was dragged. So basically what the Lord is saying through this word here is, listen, you will be dragged through situations. But the weightiness of your life, your faith, your hope will actually break open the necessary seeds for the harvest that I want to bring forth. It's a totally different picture than wallowing and wailing and sitting in drudgery going, Lord, there is no purpose, there's no joy, there's nothing going on. I can't see you. Where are you? You've abandoned me. You've left me. It's all for naught. And the Lord's just saying, come along. And he's just dragging us, not because he's wanting us to live in that state, but because the nature of sin, the nature of humanity, the reality of us moving through time, getting to a place where he returns and he restores all things. But what's different about you and I is that in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of the testing, in the midst of having to pass through and go over things and break through things, there is hope that is continuing to build so that we can then get to a place of knowing that our tribulation actually produces a perseverance. I can do this. We can do this. Yes, Lord, we can do this. I was praying with a woman this week and we were walking through some deliverance and the Lord gave me an interesting phrase for her. And it was simply this, and it was so ministered to me that as I was driving away, I was like brought to tears. But it's, Jeff, it's as simple as saying, I am because he is. I am free because he is freedom. I am delivered because he's the deliverer. I am prosperous because he's prosperity. I am fill in the blank because he is. You cannot correlate yourself to any form of hopelessness when you connect yourself to him. He is never in lack. He is never discouraged. He is never without joy. He is never sickness or despair. So I am because he is. And as I was driving down the road, I was like, oh my gosh, Lord, I am because you are. I am because you are. So I tested it this week. So I walk in a lot of different gifts, a lot of different manifestations. I sense things, I see things, and I, you know, it's just the way the Lord has moved in my life. And so Monday morning, I'm sitting with the Lord. And Lord, I am because you are. I am because he is. I was like, well, Lord, I'm a man who can experience your angels, because you experience them. And so Monday afternoon, I walk into a meeting, and I walked through what I felt like was an angel, just invisible. Like, and I stepped back, and I was like, I know I just passed through something. I just passed through someone. And I've walked through portals, I've walked through spiritual walls, but it was very different. And I was like, oh. And went on in this meeting and was very aware of the angelic realm and things going on. And as I walked out, I didn't feel like I walked through it and again, the angel. I felt like I was now being followed by it. It, him, her, I don't know, where you go with that. I'll leave that up to you. So then Tuesday, I walked into another meeting and somebody who is a seer was like, whoa, Jeff, where did you pick that angel up? And I was like, wait, what? And she just went on and said, my goodness, like I've never seen that with you before. We've seen angels and stuff. And if this is weirding you out, hang in there with me. And I was like, I don't know what you mean. And they're like, you don't? And then I had to confess to her because we have a great relationship that, well, I've been praying. I am because he is. So Wednesday, I decide in our intercessory prayer meeting before I walk into it, like, Lord, like, it's time for this place. We've been praying. We've been contending. We've been looking around. We've been believing. We're seeing breakthrough. We're getting ourselves in a place where perseverance is rising up like I haven't seen it in a long time. I'm like, Lord, I want to see, like, your glory. I get to see I am because he is. I am capable of seeing the glory. Not just in the midst of tribulation, not just in the midst of perseverance, but Lord, what you're doing in this hour. And some of us, we don't pray that. I should pray that more often. I've got other things I'm praying for. And so I'm sitting there and we start praying on Wednesday. And Paul Cooper over here, I love him. If you don't know him, get to know him. The Cooper family, that's Chad's dad. Jerry helps us in the office. She's an elder. And we usually start with a little small talk, how you doing, catching up. And Paul's like, hey, when are we going to get to praying? And it's like, right now. And boom, that guy is out the gate like a thoroughbred, just plowing ground, if you've ever been around him as an intercessor. And immediately my eyes opened up and there's this giant torch just hovering over us. And I'm like, I am because he is. I am able to see the glory because he is the glory. And I'm watching it. And I'm like, I'm praying in the spirit and I'm asking the Lord, like, after I get over I humble myself after I get over the pride of like, oh, this is good, Lord. This is really good. And we just keep going. And I stop and I ask the Lord, like, because I was super compelled. I want that. Like, I want to reach up and grab it. And as quickly as I saw it, I heard the Lord say, don't touch it. And I was like, oh, I am because he is. So, Lord, if you can touch the glory, why can't I touch the glory? I'm just working this. And he, this is what he said to me. I had to put Abram to sleep to move this torch through the sacrifice. Now, if you don't know the story, Abraham was asked to separate some animals. And God put him into a deep sleep. Abram became Abraham. And he was making covenant through a sacrifice. And the word says that he passed a torch and consumed and burnt up the offerings while Abram, was sleeping. And so immediately I'm like, what are you doing, Lord? What is going on here? And as we continued to pray and other words started to stir, there was a word about this baptism. And I watched it all of a sudden just flurry up. And the little, the little offshoots of the fire, the flick, was these giant drops of anointing oil just splashing on us. And so I was like, Lord, what do we do with this? So I shared it with the rest of the intercessors, brought them into it. We started praying into it. And so this morning, I am because he is. I was like, you know, because we had a prayer and it was good. And I watched it kind of just dissipate and, you know, come out of my sight. But I knew it was there. And so this morning I went into the Riverside room. We pray over here. And I just took a moment and I was like, I know you're here. I know the glory's here. I know the anointing's breaking forth. I know there's something being poured out. I know you're restoring covenant. I know we're looking at covenant. I know we've been travailing, Lord. I know we've been through tribulation. I know we've been learning how to persevere. I know we're getting to a place where that perseverance is developing a character. I knew enough to ask, can I touch it? That character development. And I knew enough to obey. No, don't touch it. There's a flame. There's a torch. I'm making covenant. And it's bringing us to this place where this morning, as I was sitting in that Riverside room, I was like, Lord, I want to see it again. I want to recognize, you know, where is it? And I sat there for, you know, Lord, I got like 5 minutes. Can you make it happen in 5 minutes? And so I just sat there for a few minutes and I didn't see anything. I could see it the way I saw it on Wednesday in my mind's eye now, but I couldn't see it the way I saw it, like the picturing it. And so we're getting service going, but during worship, it manifested right over the worship team this morning. And it was while they were singing that I saw these giant, the little flicks of the flame just dropping these anointing things. And man, I just started to weep because I was like, Lord, I know our covenant relationship requires hope. To steward covenant, meaning getting ourselves to a place where we are faithful to the covenant of Jesus Christ and what he's called us, requires an anointing from the Spirit of God who wants to steward the hope that he's put in us. And it brings us to this place where all the tribulation, the perseverance, the character, it's creating a hope. And not just any type of hope. Look at verse 5 here. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The nature in which we want to steward hope, which makes it different than wishful thinking, makes it different than just hoping in something without any substance being attained, is that it is stewarded and authored by God and his Spirit. And when we get that, we realize that we overcome. It's a hope that causes us to overcome. The next four, I'll move through pretty quickly here. Look at Romans 15:13. This is the hope that transforms. 15:13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is going to fill you with a hope that creates joy and peace through believing that it's then going to cause you to abound in hope. So to abound in hope requires a hope. And it's transformative. It's transformative in the sense that now all of a sudden we're moving. We're moving and stepping out in faith. So if you're here this morning and you realize there hasn't been a lot of movement in your life, this would be the verse to camp out on. This would be a place to recognize, Lord, I need an infilling of Holy Spirit hope that's going to produce a joy and peace in believing that's going to cause me to abound or move in hope. And movement in hope gets us to a place of faith, which is the substance and evidence of things that we've hoped for. But along the way, the Lord might show you, hey, the reason why you're lacking hope in this area is because you haven't allowed me to steward it. You haven't allowed me to break it free. You haven't allowed me to take you through some tribulation of what it might look like to let go, what it might look like to step out, what it might look like to change your vocabulary, change your mindset, get rid of the self-talk that defeats and removes hope. It's transformative, the power of hope. The third one here, hope has purpose. Jeremiah 29:11, some of you who have been in church a long time, you know this verse. If this is a new verse for you, I want to introduce it to you, but I want to give you a context. Jeremiah 29:11 says this. This is a great verse. We quote it. It's on pillows. It's on napkins. It's on, you know, dishes. It's an anthem. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. We've looked at this in Isaiah. Thoughts of peace. And not of evil, that's where I can say, I am as he is. I am because he is. There's nothing evil in him, therefore there's nothing evil that should be in us. thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That hope is meant to look forward. When hope is looking backwards, it's called regret. And if we put all our emphasis in regret, what we end up doing is finding sorrow. I don't know why things didn't go the way you wanted them to go. I don't know why God didn't do what you asked him to do when he said, ask him. I don't know why somebody became an abuser in your life, causing you to be a victim, experiencing trauma. I don't know why. The Lord does, and why he doesn't answer or answer those questions, I don't know. But what I do know is that he wants us to understand he has a plan and a future and a purpose. He's got a direction for us that he says to give you a future and a hope. Now here's the context of this verse in this chapter if you didn't know this. Israel had sinned against God. And so he allowed them to go into captivity. And while they're in captivity, he was still their God. While they were in tribulation, learning to persevere, learning to overcome, he still promised them that I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I know that it's of peace and not of evil. But Lord, we're sitting in captivity. Yes. So find me as your peacemaker. Find me in the midst of your captivity. Find me in the midst of your tribulation. Find me in the midst of your addiction. Find me there because I promise I am there. I am there in such a manner that I will then give you a future and a hope. And sometimes we can't see past our tribulation. We can't see past our imprisonment. And what God is asking you and I to consider is that you and I need the Spirit of God and the fellowship of community to encourage one another, to remind one another, wait, God promised us a future and a hope. God promised us a future and a hope. And therefore, there is purpose. There is always purpose through whatever you're going through. God can make all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purposes by his love. He will turn it around. I don't know when. I don't know how. But what I do know is that he's a good God. So if you're looking for purpose, if you're struggling, camp out on the reality that, Lord, even in my captivity, you have thoughts towards me that go above and beyond where I'm at right now. That they're producing a future and a hope. Two more. 1 Peter 3:15. Hope is contagious. It is contagious in such a manner that it's going to provoke others to ask you this question. And it's said this way in 1 Peter 3:15. It says, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts. Meaning, set him apart. The word sanctified means to be set apart. Set him apart from everything else you're going through. Make him one and only. Lift him up. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense. Always be ready to give a testimony. Always be ready to proclaim. Always be ready to testify to everyone who asks you. Meaning people are going to ask you. They're going to come and ask you. They're going to interrogate. They're going to question. They're going to challenge. But they're going to know it because you've got something that they don't have or they don't understand. And it's hope. Who asks you the reason for the hope that it is in you. With meekness and fear, respond to them. Meaning, don't let pride, don't let the love of money and mammon and the lust for possessions, don't let the mindset of poverty and the lack of generosity be what people know. Don't let people just know that you go to church. Don't let people know that you're a Christian. Where's the substance of your faith? It's not in an ism. It's in a person. Jesus Christ. Who is the hope. And when they come asking, what's different about you? You're not blowing it off as something you ate yesterday. You're able to testify. I put my hope in Jesus. And by doing so, he has filled me. And my hope has become a substance. That's what you're seeing. That's the difference. That's the change. Again, one more time. And I'm going to break you up into groups because I got one more word. And I want you to connect before you leave. But if you've ever wrestled with some form of addiction and you have found freedom in Jesus Christ, would you raise your hand this morning? Look around the room. Raise them up one more time. I'm not defining addiction. There's lots of different addictions. The testimony of that substance is what hope echoes with. Because hope echoes. We're sitting in a meeting, Mark Haugen. Hope echoes. He gives me this word and I'm like, yes, it does. See, we've come along and we've done this, and I'm going to repent for it. We've come and told you that the commonality between all of humanity, meaning no matter who you talk to, we all have one thing we can relate to. And we say it's pain. Everybody has a pain. Everybody can start a conversation off of pain. And yes, that is true. But what I want to ask for forgiveness for is that we chose the negative versus the kingdom. Because as true as it is, yes, everybody can relate to pain. What is actually a greater truth is everybody's looking for hope. Why? Because you were born in the image of God, in his likeness. When God planted us in the garden, oh man, I don't know if I should go here. When God planted us in the garden, it was a small little place that had the purpose of expanding, the hope to expand, the necessity to expand. And in the midst of that, disobedience, sin hindered all that. And Jesus, our Lord and Savior, comes to heal the nature of sin, the separation between us and the Lord. And yes, we can look at humanity and go and say, hey, you know what? We all have a pain. And that's okay if that's where you start the conversation. But I want to challenge you. Everybody's carrying a hope for something. Everybody's carrying a hope for something. They might not know what it is. They might not know how to steward it. They might not know how to get through or get past a wishful thought versus the internal nature of God wanting to break forth and bring hope into faith. But you and I do. You and I know that truth. And so you and I need to go after it. And we need to go after it because it has an eternal nature to it. So the last word this morning is eternal hope. 1 Peter 1, back up a few chapters. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. I didn't know we were going to sing that song. I think it was called Trust in God. But blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. Hope is living through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you. Come on, there is a hope that does not get defiled, that does not fade away. It is actually held in the glory of the Lord. And it is held in such a manner that it is our blessed assurance. It is the reason why we can look at a situation and say, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but living hope says you're going to do it. You're going to see a way through it. You're going to get me through it. You're going to get us through it. You're going to baptize us. You're going to anoint us. You're going to strengthen us. You're going to encourage us. You're going to cause us to be the testimony that others need. You're going to cause us to be the evidence of the faithfulness of your goodness on earth as it is in heaven. You're going to show us the way. We're going to get through tribulation and come into faith through perseverance and character and hope. Because he has promised us a type of hope that is an inheritance, meaning it is rightfully yours. That's why you and I can say, I am because he is. I am because he is. I am eternally hopeful. I don't waver in my faith. I don't waver in my salvation anymore. I used to when I was young, like thinking, oh, every sin, Lord, I lost my salvation. Listen, I don't know where you're at in that theology, but when you accompany hope to your salvation, it is assured and reserved for you and I. Meaning when you put your hope in Jesus, he said, I will never let you go. I will never leave you. I will be with you always and you will be with me always. And so there's this place that when you and I rise up into hope and allow it to move us and become faith, all of a sudden the evidence of heaven is on earth. And with it brings the prosperity, which breaks the yoke of all poverty. So would you stand with me and connect with two or three other people this morning? Marnie, if I could get those five words up there. Pick one right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that one of these would trigger where we need the power of hope. If you're here and you need to overcome, if you need transformation in an area, if you're looking for purpose, if you're wanting to see hope be more contagious in your life and through your life, and if you're here wrestling or struggling with the eternal nature of your salvation, let hope arise. Would you take a few moments and just pray with people? Take a moment and ask them, which one of these can I stand in agreement with you? And I'll give you a few moments and then we'll send you out of here. Thank you, Jesus.